Hello, good evening, and you're very welcome along to our Life and Times programme here on Midlands 103. It's Albert Fitzgerald joining me this morning. There's only a Garson. I think, actually, my guest this week is probably the youngest person that we've had on our Life and Times programme since we began, about 2.5 years ago. But he's an awfully man.
How you doing, Albert?
Not too bad. Simon Casey, you're very, very welcome. A native of Ballycumber.
I get that all the time.
I can imagine.
Yeah, a native of Ballycumber. Proud of it. It's a great place to be.
Tell us about Ballycumber.
What can I say about Ballycumber? I suppose a lot of people that don't know anything about Ballycumber probably would have heard about it through the Mayfair years ago.
Was there a big festival there?
It was, yeah. It went on for years. Like, it was a kind of a cattle mart and all the rest, a street market that the farmers would come and sell their products and all the rest. And there was also a frog swallowing competition.
A what?
Frog swallowing.
Is there a French connection?
I don't think so. No, but
they used to swallow frogs.
They used to swallow frogs. It was famous for it, actually.
Were these specially imported French frogs, or were these the domestic kind of ribbit?
I don't think so. I think they were the domestic.
No,
Ballycumber frog, I think. But yes, they used to swallow it down with a pint of Guinness as well, as far as I know. And there was, they used to take, you know, from all over the country. There'd be people coming in their droves for this, and
swallow a frog.
Yeah, I think the cruelty to animals gone after them after. So it didn't continue, but I suppose that's what a lot of people would remember Ballycumber for if they just heard the name.
There's a big house actually back there, is there? Was there some connection with the Parscourt family, or I think there's a place back there. There's a holiday home, or it'll come to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there is a big Ballycumber house there in the centre of the village, and it's actually used for guest houses, and it's a. It's very, very popular for a lot of people to come there.
And there's still an annual festival that takes place there, isn't there?
Well, not in the last couple of years, no, because I suppose with the way things have gone with insurance and everything like that, it's very hard to keep a lot of festivals going. I even find it from gigging myself, from doing the festivals even 4 years ago or 5 years ago or 6 years ago with Churchmice, that a lot of these festivals aren't really happening anymore because of insurance purposes and that. So,
and you wouldn't have the volume of people in there to justify
it. You wouldn't, no. You certainly wouldn't.
I remember now, you wouldn't know anything about this, but we had marquees and stuff like that up in the fields, and there was never a problem getting the crowds. Mum and Dad, who are they?
My mother is Teresa Casey.
Where's she from?
She's from Rahan originally, Killarney.
Right.
And so my father is from Drimna originally.
Dublin?
James L. Casey. Yeah.
How did he end up down here?
Well, he was a principal teacher in Bohar National School there for 40 years, I'd say. And he just retired there about five years ago or that. And so that's where they kind of came to Bohar there, and they bought a house there just beside the school, and it was a handy little job from there for all those years.
Did he ever get rid of the accent?
I think he did, yeah. Like, you'd hear him the odd time now if you hear a recording of him talking, you'd get that Dublin accent. But I suppose when you're talking to him face to face, you don't really get the Dublin accent, you know. But
after 40 years, they've it knocked out of him.
It does. It has a little bit, but he still has the bit of the Dublin wit, I suppose, you know.
Said he's only retired recently.
Yeah, in the last 5 or 6 years, he's retired there. So, but he's never stopped working. Like, he's still doing a lot of. He's in and out to other schools doing a couple of days here and there, relief staff and all the rest.
Dubs are like that. It's very hard to let go of a few quid. And the rest of the family?
My sister Suzanne, she's an art teacher in Athlone. My two brothers are actually in the Guards. And my other brother is a teacher down in Wexford as well. So.
What are the two Garda names?
Leonard and Conrad.
And where are they?
Leonard's actually down in Wexford as well. And he's been down for the last...
What part of Wexford is he?
Wexford Town.
Ah, is he young? He's younger than you are.
Well, he'd be older than me. I'm the second youngest.
I was wondering, there couldn't be too many younger than you.
And my youngest brother, then, Conrad, is just he's currently in Templemore.
Earning no money but wearing the uniform.
Exactly.
Sometimes I wonder, it must be a real vocation for these young guards going in, because they really, they certainly earn almost nothing.
Yeah.
For the first 2 years.
I suppose so. Yeah, but you know, when you come out of it, I suppose it's a stable enough job for you, and it's something that I actually. You know, not just to my two brothers around, but I remember years and years ago when I was in National School, that's all I ever wanted to be was
a guard.
Was in the Guards, yeah. But I suppose...
Special branch.
Special branch.
You'd be some book, right? I think actually in the I'd probably get the trouble with this down in Templemore, I think there's a very special class called sarcasm.
I suppose there
and
is.
If you're going over now to ask some fella, like, you know, who is speed, and you have to go over and say, are you trying to land a jet? And stuff like that.
They have a lot of sayings, I think. I think they do.
You to tell us about, well, it's not too far ago, but your childhood. What was it like around Ballycumber?
Ballycumber's a great place to to live in. You know, there's loads of facilities, always loads of facilities for kids. And
like what?
Well, like, you know, we always had the Freudian, we had the, yeah, obviously, you know, football was always a big thing in
Boulder. You played a bit yourself?
I do, yeah. I still do play a little bit now and again whenever I get a chance. But yeah, I played from under 12 level up all the way, like, you know. And it was just, it's always a great, you know, great place, obviously, to meet friends. And kind of, even nowadays, it even keeps you grounded from other things, like, you know, brings it back down to earth with a bang.
I can imagine. Yeah. I think we're going to come to that in a little while. You went to school in Ballycumber.
That's right, yeah.
And the secondary then was where?
I went to Art School Ciarán in Clara, and I had a great few years there as well. And, you know, that's where I kind of got involved with the music on a band level.
Where did the music come from? Is there music in the house?
There is, yeah. Well, my dad was used to do a lot in the choir in Ballycumber when the choir first started. He was one of the first members, I think, himself and Chrissy Coffey. And that kind of happened. My mother, God bless her, wouldn't have a clue how to sing, but I think her dad was a good singer. So it was kind of, I suppose, a bit from both, really, you know.
So where did your interest, when were you conscious of saying, well, yeah, I'd like to sing, or I'd like to play, or I'd like to... Because you play an instrument, don't you?
I do. I play a bit of guitar, yeah. Tony O'Halloran there from the famous,
yes.
Tony. Yeah, he taught
wonderful,
me.
Wonderful guy.
Yeah, he always came around to Bourton National School every Wednesday there. And, you know, I had to be forced to do it. And but just when I look back, I know, like, you know, my parents were always, you know, just try and do it.
We are currently fighting that battle with our 9-year-old and the piano.
Yeah, exactly.
And if he could burn the piano, he would burn it.
Yeah. But I have to say, like, you know, in years to come, that's when you really appreciate it. When you can sit down and have an old session with a guitar and...
Well, I'm thinking more long term now that I'm in my dotage and he's making as much money as you guys make.
Right. But I suppose you were just saying about the music there. We always had, like, a great facility for us was the Kevin Carroll School of Drama. And I got involved in that when I was about 5 or 6, like, you know. And he used to put on a Christmas show every year, and eventually...
Yeah, he always had a very, very good reputation for high quality.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Performances. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant, yeah. And, you know, as the years went on, you know, he had the John Player Tops as well, and I became involved in that as well. So I was involved with them kind of shows for about 11 or 12 years.
What kind of shows were you doing?
Everything from... My very first one was actually a school shepherd in a nativity play. And
I can see you now.
Yeah, yeah. And and it kind of progressed from there. Like, every year you were kind of... You know, obviously, if your voice was getting a bit better, you'd be getting kind of more lead roles. And as it went on, we did Chitty Bang Bang and different kind of songs from different musicals and that kind of
stuff.
But
I suppose from this, you kind of developed your craft. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, a singer is only one part of it. And when you're out there and you're giving a performance and you're fronting a band and you've several hundred people. I saw you in action one time down in Killarney.
Yeah.
And it was in one huge venue, a venue that held 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. And you were on directly after one of the top tribute bands, ABBA bands. And
That's
there
right.
was a big crowd there. And they stayed.
They did.
I was
they
mightily
did.
Impressed, I must say. They stayed.
Yeah, well, like, it was that was a fantastic gig, you know. And, you know, I suppose it does come from craft, and it does come from being able to sell yourself on a stage.
But
you
this
know?
Is where you obviously learned it.
It is, yeah,
but
definitely without doubt, the tops of the town. I think it's a huge, you know, it's such a huge pity that I know we have musicals and all that kind of stuff, but the tops of the town were absolutely brilliant. You know, it was a national competition.
But sure, there isn't a programme that goes by when the town of Clare isn't mentioned and
exactly. The
wonderful Rafina Rex and all the rest and what they've achieved. But, like, who was the first band? What was the first band?
Well, the first band was a band called Sordid Youth. And I just tell you, just to go back, just very quickly, just go back to
the beginning.
Back to the beginning, just after during the Kevin Carroll School of Drama, a kind of a competition came up on Radio 3, and it was actually Mary Fanning and Good Morning Midlands.
Good Mary,
yeah,
yes.
That's right,
Mary was a guest of this programme there not so long
was
ago.
She? Very
fabulous
good.
Woman.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought she was a fantastic personality and still keep in contact with her. But but Mary had they ran a competition. We did a couple of... It was a big competition just for the whole of the Midlands, for the three or four counties or whatever. Mm. People from all over the place actually got involved in it. And there was it was a process, you know.
How long ago was that? That must have been back in the early 90s.
Well, I was actually 12 at the time, like, you know.
15 years ago.
So, yeah. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But, you know, every morning they had a couple of contestants on to sing, and all of a sudden you were in a final then, and that was my very first competition to win, was when I was 12, and that was...
What did you win?
Actually won a lovely Galway crystal, and I think I won 250...
Spondoolings.
Yeah, and I went out and bought the Aston Villa jersey. I still have it at home.
Collector's item.
That's exactly it, collector's item. But, you know, that was fantastic. That was probably the first time when I won that competition when I was 12, and I started getting lead roles then in the Kevin Carroll School of Drama shows. Like we did Les Miserables and Phantom of the Opera and all the rest, and I got the big songs to sing. And that brought me on again, like, you know. And then kind of pretty much after that, when I was about 17 or 18, in Oir School Cairn, we got involved in a band. We got together for a school concert, myself and four other lads from Clara.
What was the band called?
The band was called Sorted Youth.
And what kind of stuff did you do?
Oh, we did everything from U2, the stunning Aslan. You know, the stuff that I still do, like, you know, yeah. Radiohead, we're all big at the time. Anything that was big at the time, Pearl Jam, all yes. that kind of stuff. Like, yeah. We're a real kind of school band and very messy, but very, you know, I think... absolutely dedicated. And
if you ever pass through Mitchellstown, there's certain people down there will remember the band 99% and their lead singer.
But anyway, serious?
Yeah. But like everybody else, we all go through this kind of period where we want to be in a band. But you've kept it going.
We have, yeah. We kept it going, and actually,
where did you go? What was the next band after that?
Well, it was the same band. Sorted Youth was the band. It was, as I said, it was four of us. There was Lloyd Bracken on drums, there from Clara. It was Joe Egan.
Still drumming with you. Joe Egan, fabulous guitarist.
Yeah. Joe Egan still playing away. Ronan Kenny from Clara, and Ian Redmond from Clara, and just myself from Ballycumber. So there was five of us. And from that, actually, from the Sorted Jude gigs, we kind of got spotted by Leamy Claffey there from you might know Leamy from the Old Shebeen.
The name of the band?
Church Mice.
Okay, I have to. Can I play this?
You can, of course.
Because
yeah.
we need to take a commercial break shortly, and you're listening to Life and Times here at Midlands 103. And you're very welcome back to our Life and Times programme, where this evening's guest, because I keep saying morning, they've moved me to evening, I keep saying morning, is none other than Simon Casey. Wonderful Rocky version.
Brilliant. Yeah, it was fantastic. It was just one of our songs that we put on our set list, just gigging, and it was going down so well, we decided to do a version of it. And of course, as I was just saying before that, with Church Mice, it was Leamy Claffey that got behind us. And
of course, a lot of people would know Leamy Claffey, famous publican over the Old Shebeen.
He is.
And I'd
say the most famous awfully man living in Westmeath. But Leamy was very good to me, and always very good to us. Like, you know, he gave us a great opportunity. Like, we were back in, that was 98, and I was in first year in college at the time. And we hit the charts with that song. It went in at number 15, and it actually stayed there for... It must have stayed there for about 7 or 8 weeks, you know, in the top 30. And that you're talking about at the back in those days, of course, it was you had your top 30 hits every twice a week on television.
Yes.
So you were getting obviously players with it, national players, and then you were getting the TV exposure as well with a video that we just put together in the Old Shebeen as well. So
yeah, was this? Yeah.
Actually, pushing a truck as well, pushing an old
church
truck.
Yeah. Well, if Claffey was stuck in it, you can be sure there was no engine in it. good evening, Leamy, if you're listening. I'll be barred the next time I walk in there. You were going to college in Athlone at this stage.
I was.
What were you studying?
I studied business studies, and you know, obviously, between everything, it was hard to keep everything going. But like at the time, we were doing the college rounds as well as a band. Like we were up and down the country doing all the colleges, all the fresher weeks, and all.
You
the
must have been cream crackered.
We were, yeah. We were absolutely knackered. Like, I remember actually, you know, going to trying to get up for college the next morning after coming from Galway, coming from Sligo, or coming from Killarney, even, you know, and it was just impossible, really, you know, to keep it going. But we did keep it going, and because you have to remember, a lot of the lads, like, I was 18 at the time, I was actually the oldest in the band, and what do you call it? The youngest would have been 15, and they would have been they would have been in school at the time, you know. Practicing for their...
Sounds crazy.
Yeah, so...
You must have really had the support of your parents, don't you?
We did. All of five members of the band, we all had huge support from parents, and still do. Like, the lads are all still involved, and, you know, it's just a love that we have for the music.
So, chronologically, Church Mice, where you were getting doors open, their play you brought out, I know you brought out more music after that, but then what happened after?
Well, like, we were kind of, you know, we did the rounds and all the rest, and I just found that we were kind of... It was going grand, like, or whatever, but it wasn't really you know, it wasn't something we could make a living out of as such, like, you know, make a very comfortable living out. So there's a few things coming up. Like, I got a few offers from different things, like to join different boy bands and all the rest of that.
Yeah.
And nothing really worked out for me. And next thing, Popstars came along, of course. And that was back in...
Is it Popstars?
Popstars back in 2001, 2002, in around that.
Yeah.
So I kind of... At that stage, I'd left Church Mice for a year, and you know, myself and Joe from the band were doing a two-piece.
How did you think of applying for this? Or how did you have to apply?
Well, it was actually Louis had actually heard of us through Church Mice and that, and he was
Louis Walsh.
Yeah,
there's a name to drop. Go on. And, I'm impressed.
And Louis gave me a call just to say, "Look, Popstar's coming up. Would you be interested in doing an audition?" Like, you know?
And this was the very first time that this was.
It was. Like, it was. I have to say, it was off the strength of what we'd done with Church Mice, and you know, we'd done some big festivals down in Tralee.
There you have Louis.
And Louis, like, you know, I suppose at the time Louis was big with Westlife and all the rest, and he was probably looking at another few jobs. That, you know, he wasn't making enough money at the time, probably. And Popstars, then, of course, you know, I got the call to do it, and I went along and did it. You know, I went along.
So Popstars was the forerunner to Eurostar, wasn't it?
It was,
remember, it caught the country's imagination.
Oh, unbelievable.
Because you had to perform every week, and then you were whittled down, but the voting was incredible.
It was. Like, we actually went up to Portumna for a week there, and we're all, you know, caged in a hotel in Portumna, and we were all signed contracts, you know, private secrecy contracts.
Yes.
So even when we were knocked out, we couldn't, like, I'd meet people on the street and they'd know that we were after going for Popstars and say, "Well, how'd you get on?"
You couldn't tell them.
And even when it was going on, like, still, like, you know, when it was coming on over to Christmas, I was still there, and I still couldn't, as it was winding down, like, you know, to the last six been picked, like, I still couldn't tell people, "No, look, I'm actually not, you know, just, like, you know, I'm after being kicked out."
Yeah, I remember getting a phone call saying, you know, like, this thing has started to gather momentum.
Yeah.
And in my humble opinion, and the humble opinion of several people, you know, I know Mickey Hart went on to win it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got the ballad, he got the Rocky song or whatever, and whatever way the voting was. And it was just, I just really hate that kind of voting. But
I know.
I was asked to attend a meeting in Ballycumber, and I did. I think it was, so I arrived out to Ballycumber anyway to attend this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I never saw anything like it.
Yeah.
There was a meeting inside, and it was all about strategy, getting phones, heading out into different exchanges, the whole lot.
Yeah.
And I was there and I was thinking, this is absolutely wonderful to see a community kind of just get behind their person. I mean, it must have put the hairs at the back of your neck standing.
It did. But, like, you know, you have to remember, you know, about, say, just Popstars. First of all, I didn't want to go into Eurostar after that, because Popstars kind of knocked me for six, really, you know, because I'd so little... I got so little coverage out of it, first of all, and then I just, you know, came across as being just one of the other people there. Like, you know, I don't think a lot of people got the credibility they deserved for the week, you know. And I was actually Ronan Johnson then, and obviously my fiance Denise and my my family members that really got behind me to put me into Eurostar. And, you know, once that ball started rolling, like, you know, I remember doing it was Stephen's night, and getting through that night and going into Ballycumber after that into Gavin's pub and been held on shoulders and been give the bumps and all the rest.
We escorted the bus into Ballycumber the time that Mickey Hart came down with you.
Yeah.
I mean, the president of America couldn't have got the... It was
unbelievable. And like you were just saying about the momentum, like it just kept on building and it's actually the GA club that decided... Right, let's get a few posters and let's put a few posters up around the
place. But you kind of read Colin McCabe, you know, was on to me, "Albert, come on, we need to get this and all this sort of stuff." And of course, we were the radio station. We had to row in behind you, but I can tell you this much, it was certainly no difficulty.
Yeah.
I remember when the whole thing was going on, the phone lines used to light up here in the radio station with comment and so forth. So
but like, I'd be on with John McDonald there every morning early, you know, giving up to the latest news or whatever behind the scenes. And every time it was just the reaction was just absolutely phenomenal. So
it came down to the final night and the final two songs.
Yeah.
Mickey Hart sung the Eurovision entry, which he went on to. The song you sung was
A Better Plan.
Yeah, and great ballad, great song. Of course, written by was Nicky McFadden. No, Brian
McFadden.
Sorry. But how did you feel? I mean, you were told. I think it was.
Well, we were kind of, when it got down to the last four, myself, Mickey, and Michael, and Lisa Breslin. The four of us were given a song. We didn't have any choice in what song we wanted.
Yeah.
We were just brought into a room in Killiney in a hotel there, and we were played the song for the first time. And I remember hearing it, and I said, geez, this is very, very Westlife. You know, it sounds very, very Westlife. I didn't actually know who wrote the song or whatever. And remember then getting the four of us, they got the four of us together and they played everyone's song. And I remember thinking to myself, well, I have a good song here, but I think...
I'd like to
I still went out of that room that day singing Mickey Hart's song, We've Got the World, I started, you know, humming it to myself. And it was just that instantaneous song. Or
catchy, which
instant song. And it just got me straight away. And
You didn't do too bad of a job in this one, I must
say. No, I have to say, like, you know, it's been a huge... I can't complain about it.
Can we have a listen?
We can, of course. Yeah.
Midlands 103's Life and Times, and today, or this evening, we're in discussion and in conversation with Simon Casey. This is A Better Plan.
Born in London, late October, humid June in Herzegovina, both the same, both helpless as can be.
Midlands 103's Life and Times, where this evening we're in conversation with Simon Casey. Simon, lovely, lovely ballad.
Lovely ballad, yeah.
But was it a good thing maybe that you didn't go on and win it?
Well, the thing, Albert, I suppose, the thing about not winning was everything you did after that was a kind of a bonus. Like, people, you're the underdog, you know, and if you do anything good, people say, well, it's fair juice to Simon. Like, he's doing all right for himself, you know, he's had this, that and the other. Like, you know, there's a number one in his... He's had a number one there, like, you know, and a lot of people didn't. I know the show was huge, and we all had our, you know, we all had our followers and whatever. But for that song to go number one, it was just amazing for me. Like, you know, it was absolutely amazing. It was just, you know, it's just a feeling that you can never really. I don't know. We had it was a huge kind of surprise party for me. Actually, I went into the Universal Buildings on the Friday morning, and I went into Dave Pennyford, the head of. The music director or the managing director, sorry, and I was there, number one, I'm number one. Let's say we're going out for drinks or we're going to have a party tonight or whatever. And Dave said, no, I'm actually have to go to London tonight myself. And everyone was kind of dissing me for some reason. I was there, Jesus, I know that you'd probably deal with number ones every day of the week, but I'm number one this week. Like, you know, at least you can do is come over a few drinks with me or whatever. But, yeah, I got back to the hotel that night and it was just amazing. We were after doing a PA there in Talla. I came back after that. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening. And the whole family, all my friends, all the company were there. And
What a buzz.
Such a buzz. It was unbelievable. You know, and that is something that, you know, no matter what you do in life, no one can take that number one away from you. And that's the way, you know, I'd always...
Okay, so right, back up there now fairly lively, because at 27 years of age, you can forget about, you know what I mean? Give us a small break here, will you?
Yeah.
I remember hearing an interview that you did, because you dropped out of college at this stage. Mm-hmm. And I remember you actually were making quite sense, saying, look, you know, I have this level of recognition, or I have this level of awareness now. You know, I'm never going to get a better chance to go into a career in music, you know. With this, and that's the chance that you took. But I know, for argument's sake, that there was a big production of Grease coming up.
There was,
and you got involved in that.
I did. I got involved in Grease was a year after Eurostar. Again, it came through the Louis Walsh office that they were looking for a kind of an Irish celebrity to take part in the show. And it was Louis' assistant that got on to me and said, look, would you be interested in trying out for Grease, like, you know, it's the West End musical. And I was like, God, geez, I'd love to do it, because I went for Les Miserables and a few other ones just before I became a name, if you like,
in the country.
And didn't get looked at twice, you know what I mean? Because you're not a name and because you don't have a portfolio behind you or whatever, or a CV behind
you. We'll take you if you have experience, but how you get experience is another.
Exactly. So I had the experience of Eurostar and I had the exposure and whatever, and I went over to London and... got it that morning there, and then I just did a couple of verses of
sorry, the character you played was?
A teen angel.
Wow.
So it was kind of a very kind of cheesy role, I have to say, you know, but it was a fantastic. It just gave me a totally new lease of life.
We are talking about probably one of the most favourite musicals ever.
Yeah.
Cheesy. Yeah, okay.
You're talking about that, like, you're talking about doing, like, it was a show that went on every day of the week in the Point, like, and you know, the matinees, we did two shows on a Saturday and worked from Monday to Friday, or Monday to Saturday, you know. So it was tough going, but, you know, you're playing to a packed pint every night of the week as well. And that's an experience that you just you won't forget, like, in a hurry. And just amazing. All I had to do was one song. So it was just, you know, obviously...
What was the song?
A song called Beauty School Dropout.
Beauty School Dropout. Oh, don't want to start. I'm a fan. Come here to me. You did that for a period of time, yeah. But you were also like, you put together a fairly tight band, because you kind of the lads,
yeah,
your friends that you had been with yonks ago,
mm-hmm.
You reunited.
We did, yeah. Yeah,
in fact, Church Mice Mark III.
It was kind of, yeah, like, you know, initially we did a Eurostar tour straight after Eurostar, a very successful tour, and I had Niall Power on board as well, the drummer who plays with Geldof, and I still do a lot with him now and again. And Mick McDonald was bass player, and I actually wrote a song on the new album with him as well. And it's just along with Joe Egan and Gavin Murray from Kells as well. So we had a very tight band there, and for some reason or another, obviously things start to wind down a little bit, and you go your separate ways.
How do you always keep the momentum going?
Exactly,
it's impossible.
Exactly. So,
I mean, the best and the best have been in the business for years, can't do it.
Yeah, yeah. So again, as you said, it came back to, we got Lloyd Bracken back in on drums, and Joe kind of stayed with me, and we made up a very tight band again.
I must say I was mightily impressed with Lloyd's drumming. I saw him only a couple of months ago, and you know, the guy's just maturing.
He's very, very energetic.
Ireland's Call, what was that? How did that?
Again, that was straight after Eurostar, basically. It was going for the 2003 World Cup. Ireland were involved in it. And Phil Coulter rang me after. Of course, I'd known Phil from the show.
He was quite obvious that he had a very soft spot for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, he's a guy that even to this day I can pick up the phone and give him a call, and he'd give you any advice he wants to, you know.
He's a legend. I mean,
he is a legend.
He hasn't done.
And, you know, it's great to be asked by a guy that's written songs for the likes of Sinead O'Connor and written songs for the likes of Luke Kelly and
the
whatever.
The guy who controlled Bay City Rollers, the guy who did. I mean, the guy,
exactly.
You know, he still surprises with the kind of songs that comes out. It's like, yeah. Did he write that?
Yeah, yeah, unbelievable. So, like, when he rang me and asked me, would I be interested? I said, would I be what? And away we went. We recorded a song with the Irish rugby team as well. And it was fantastic. And I got to sing it in a couple of over in Wales and Italy and France and for the Seven Nations.
Have any tickets for
no, haven't been asked back since, so
I'll hold your coat if you're
but no, that's just another, you know, it's just another great thing that happened to me, you know.
I know that you're at the end of the day, you have to work. I mean, at the end of the day, and you have to go out, you have to do various things. I know that you have got the big band and the small band, and I know that you'll be doing the Christmas parties, you'll be doing the parties, you'll be doing all this. Any regrets?
I wouldn't say, Albert, I have any regrets, no, because it's been very good to me. The music business has been very good to me. And I know I'm only in it a short enough time, but I have to say I've really enjoyed every bit of it so far. Like, you know, and to be able to mix both, like, you know, to be able to, as you said, like, I do the Christmas parties, and we do any kind of gig that comes our way, we'll do it.
Bread and butter.
We'll try and give 100% everything we do, no matter what it is, no matter how big or how small it is. And it just seems to work at the moment, you know. Everything seems to work. Like, I do a solo show as well that works very well. So,
but it doesn't. It doesn't happen unless you deserve it. To get all the people, in a huge area, and it wasn't just in Ballycumber. I remember Freddie Vaugh.
Yeah.
Over in Forban. I remember Freddie raving about you and all this artist thing. It was just really nice to see.
It's unbelievable, you know.
But you've another big performance coming up shortly.
I do, yeah.
You do, yeah. You're going to get married.
I am indeed, yeah.
To Denise.
Denise.
Where's Denise from?
Denise is from Ballycumber as well.
Oh, you went far.
Just went down the village.
Apple fall never fell far from the tree. Denise, love. I met this Denise.
You have indeed.
I met Denise. Sorry, I met Denise. But I saw her briefly.
During
the weekend. Very attractive lady.
Very attractive. Yeah. Very, like, you know, I've known Denise all my life. I went to school with
childhood
her.
Sweethearts.
I'd say so. Yeah. I'd definitely say so. Like, we have a photograph of her at home, and I think the two of us are 10 and standing beside each other. So I think there was something even back then. But you know, I'm just delighted. I can't wait. Like, you know. For the rest of our lives together, you know, I'm just looking forward.
When are you getting married?
Next September.
There's a lot of very, very sad people now, probably in the female.
Actually, look, how do you say it has to happen.
And the sincerest best of wishes with that. You're also, I know for argument's sake, well, I know that you're involved in Special Olympics. I know that you're behind Offaly.
I got involved with Special Olympics just very, again, it was through Universal, and we did a kind of a Christmas medley of songs there to raise awareness for the Special Olympics, myself and Tommy Fleming and Moya Brennan, and just since then, like, I suppose I kept in contact with them, or they kept in contact with me to see would I be interested in going forward as the face of Offaly as a celebrity, I suppose, for want of a better word. But, so I was delighted to be involved in it, and I'll do my fair share over the next few months to see if we can raise as much money as we can raise, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, if you have Rona Clunan out there, she'll make you work for it. You have a new album coming out.
Yeah, the new album is out on the 16th of February. So I suppose it's a perfect gift for Valentine's.
back up there again. what kind of stuff is on it?
A few of the songs I got from Nashville, actually, but I'd say it's a very, very middle-of-the-road kind of album. There's one original song on it from myself that I wrote. And
what was that? That is?
It's a song called Not Like Me, and that's the...
Keep talking, I'm going to line it up.
Yeah, that's the name of the album is Not Like Me as well. But it's a very middle of the road album, that's all I can say. And I think there's a song on there for everyone, really, you know.
I suppose one of the questions I often ask my guests is, and especially busy people like you, what do you do to relax?
Well, that's what I think the football comes back in there, you know. Again, we're back training there for the last couple of weeks, so we're training two nights a week with that. I know it's not relaxing, but it's getting you out there, and it's keeping you fit. It's keeping you in shape.
It's
Gaelic,
it's controlled kind of combat, isn't
it? It is. And I play a bit of soccer now and again when I can as well. So I think sports has been very important.
So you're still living in Offaly?
I am indeed, still living in Ballycumber there. So we're going to hopefully build a house in the coming year. We'll start building. So just looking forward to everything. There's a lot to look forward to, you know.
Well, do you know something? I'm really going to make myself sound old, but you're a lovely young man. You're somebody with a talent and somebody who's used that talent, but you're doing it in a nice way.
Yeah.
You're very much down to earth and touchy feely, and I've known you now myself for the last few years, and we bump into each other every now and then, and it's wonderful to see you progressing, get on. But at the end of the day, you have to work at it, and nobody works as hard as you do. So Not Like Me from Simon Casey. The new album and this self-penned song, another nice ballad.
A nice ballad, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I wrote this song with Mick McDonald there a few years back. It was actually during the Eurostar tour that we did, and just hope people like it. And I just want to thank you very much and for everything you've done for me over the last few years. You know,
Simon Casey, thank you so much, Simon Casey.
Like me to lose my sleep. I've been walking at night all week. Can't remember been hurt.